Hey friends, and welcome to It's Better When You're Here podcast. My name is Pastor Michael, and I get to be the pastor of Shepherd's Community United Methodist Church, one church at two locations in Central Florida. This is the sermon that we preached this week. I hope that the message inspires you and encourages you and reminds you that God loves you. All right, here's the message.
I get the pleasure of introducing our guest, Reverend Ed New, to be with us today to bring the message, and we look forward to good things.
It is good to be back with you. I was here about 2 years ago. I've been president and CEO of the Florida United Methodist Foundation for about 3.5 years now. And I always have the privilege of getting to know and getting to know better churches like y'all's, your incredible leadership, your incredible pastor, your incredible laity. And it's a joy. It's the best thing that we do to be present in the life of churches that the foundation is honored to partner with. Before we jump in today, and because you all are a somewhat captive audience, although you keep the doors open so you could make a run for it, how many of you all knew before my standing up here that there is even such a thing as the Florida United Methodist Foundation? Okay, we're getting there. That's better than average. Your church has a wonderful relationship. You have accounts with us, you have a loan with us, and it's a joy. But I want to be very quick just to try to explain the Florida United Methodist Foundation. Think of it as a quiet engine in the background helping fuel ministry across Florida. Our mission is simple: to support and empower the growth of Christian ministry. And we really do this in three ways, three big ways. I liken them to three sturdy legs of a stool that support our mission. We have faith-based investing and lending. We offer a competitive savings account for people, churches, businesses, agencies, schools, anybody, anywhere that's currently paying a rate of 4%. And we use those deposits. We currently have about $135 million on deposit to make far lower interest rate capital loans to churches, agencies, and religious schools for capital projects, renovations, new construction, repairs, HVAC, carpet, all the great stuff. So that's the first thing we do. The second is we do investments and planned giving for churches and agencies. We help churches create a long-term financial vision and develop that strength with their endowments, with charitable gifts, charitable gift annuities, donor advised funds for individuals. We want to help people in churches think about generosity that goes beyond our life here and the legacy we leave once we've gone to be with the Lord. And finally, we do generosity education and resourcing for churches. We walk alongside churches to teach and encourage and strengthen a culture of generosity that is grounded in Wesleyan theology, from individuals' estate planning, clergy financial health, clergy retirement planning, grants, workshops, scholarships, you know, things like that. Just a wonderful thing that we get to do. In 2023, we poured over $12 million back into ministry across the state of Florida. We do this so that churches like Shepherd's Community have the tools, the wisdom, and the financial strength they need to say yes to what is a God-sized calling and the wonderful things that you all are doing. But the core of what we do is simply about preparing and wisely managing our financial resources, resources that when we use them well, have a profound impact on the life of the church. And I think this ties into something, what I wanted to talk to you all about today, and I'm thankful for Michael's invitation. It leads into us having conversations about the renewal of the church, the renewal of our faith, and the renewal of our mission. Because, as I said, it's the best thing we get to do to visit churches. You know, the privilege of visiting and witnessing the generous hearts that can fuel renewal. Time and time again, I'm reminded that the future of the church begins when? When does the future of the church begin? Now. When you do it that way, it's now. Yes, now. Future begins today. Each new day is an opportunity for us to invite the Holy Spirit to reignite our passion and refuel the engines of our work for Christ. Just as we manage our resources with care, we are also called to steward our spiritual gifts with intention, ensuring that the church doesn't just continue to survive, but it continues to thrive. With that in mind, I want to open with a story that I think illustrates how the past and the present must work together. How many of y'all on driving I-4 have seen Fantasy of Flight in Polk City? Yeah, you know, back in the day, they had the plane like this, like into the ground, so people kept calling 911, being like, somehow a plane crashed but didn't make impact, and I don't know why they did that, but whatever. So Fantasy Flight was created by Kermit Weeks, a very creative fellow, and it's an aviation enthusiast dream. It's now mostly closed to the public, but it still features over 100 rare and vintage aircraft. And the amazing part is he doesn't just get junky planes that sit there. Weeks won't take a plane that doesn't fly. He won't work with them if he can't fly them. And he flies many of them himself. And that attraction's motto is simple but powerful. We are the past. I drove by that's right in the wrought iron gate. We are the past. Celebrating aviation's history while keeping it alive in the present. But you know, preachers, when they see something, they tuck it away for a sermon, and I saw it that day. We are the past. It just got me thinking about church, because I think this concept parallels our spiritual journey. Just as an aviation museum preserves the past, don't we also cling to the old ways of doing things, staying focused on how things used to be instead of looking ahead? I mean, we have a rich past, built on the faith and dedication of those who have come before us, but just like the vintage planes, the past is only valuable if it helps us live into the present and help us prepare for the future. God needs us to continue to fly high and not be stuck on the ground. Isaiah 43:19 tells us, "See, I am doing a new thing." It is not, "See, I'm doing the same thing." Or, "See, I am doing an old thing." "See, I am doing a new thing." God is always working in the present and inviting us to move forward. And just as Fantasy of Flight isn't a museum, but a living, breathing collection of history and action, the church is called to take the foundation of our past and use it to shape what's ahead. Because we can't just be the past, because it's meaningless for us to look back if it does not contribute to our future. Now, recently, I was in a local donut shop, like one of our neighborhood donut shops, and you have to be very careful in Polk County when you start talking about donut shops, because if you say what your favorite is and somebody doesn't agree with you, we can all be good Christian brothers and sisters until you question someone's donut loyalty. But it's what my family thinks is the best. It's Reese's. It's fantastic. It's right over there. So I got up one Saturday morning and made the donut run. And I walk in, not a lot of people there, only one person working behind the counter. She looked a little nervous. So I start ordering the dozen. And, you know, how do you strategically plan? I start with the sour cream. Everybody good with that? Yeah. Sour cream donut, absolutely. I mean, but the sweet, sweet girl working behind the counter, she struggled to find it and trying to be very Christian. I mean, it's a sour cream donut. I mean, there's nothing like it. But she was struggling, y'all, like a lot. And so we got through that one. And then I ordered the French cruller. Also a very good choice, but she struggled too. I mean, she's just like looking like all around, the whole, you have been there, like the whole case, she can't find it. And so I'm doing okay, then I ordered the vanilla frosted with the fruity pebbles, and pretty clear, but still, she's really struggling. So the first three donuts, like I was my best Christian self. After that, I really started to kind of like inside, you know, become unraveled. Eventually, we got through the dozen, hallelujah, but she put the box, we checked out, she thanked me for my patience, and I was like, of course, I was curious, and she explained that this was her second day in the shop, and that she didn't yet know the names of the donuts, and the names of the donuts are only printed on the front for the customers to see, and I couldn't comprehend that. I don't get it. It was puzzling that the store had all the information facing outward, and left the employee without any clue as to the names of all these varieties. And it made me think about the church. And sometimes we can be unintentionally, like that business was unintentionally leaving their employee in the dark, doing our best with what we know, but not paying attention to the information that needs to help us carry out the vital task ahead of us. Are we taking the time to make sure that the things that we think are just obvious are understood by those that are outside these walls? Do we just assume that they get it, when in fact we need to make sure that we take the time to let them know of a loving and gracious God? Proverbs 3:5-6 teaches us to lean on God for understanding, not just our own perceptions. We cannot assume that we already know what people need. Instead, we are called to seek God's wisdom and actively engage with the world to understand what is happening in their lives, not just the lens of what's happening in our own. We have to be vulnerable in order to do that, though. We have to put ourselves in a place where we don't know everything that's going on. It reminds me how In 1912, the Titanic was considered unsinkable. The minute I say Titanic, we all go to Jack and Rose. Yes, there was room on the door for both of them. I get it. Let's move on. But, you know, it met its fate after colliding with an iceberg. Studies suggest that if the Titanic had struck the iceberg head on instead of trying to swerve around it, it might have survived. The impact would have still been awful, catastrophic, but the ship design theoretically could have withstood a direct hit. It was only by attempting to avoid the obstacle that the ship's hull was torn along its side, leading to disaster. I think this can resonate with our personal lives. It certainly can resonate with the church. Like the Titanic, us churches can sometimes try to avoid the difficult decisions or challenges that are right there in front of us. And we try to steer around the icebergs of whether it be declining attendance, which you all are not suffering from, shifting cultures, outdated traditions, hoping that problems will somehow just fix itself. But avoidance only deepens the cracks, threatening the church's ability to thrive. As I mentioned before, Isaiah 43:19, God declares, "See, I am doing a what thing? New." Thank you. It's my last name. You know it. New. Let's go. But God's desire for the church is renewal, a constant transformation to meet its needs, to meet the needs of the present, while being rooted in the timeless message of God's love and grace. Renewal is about courage. Having the strength to make difficult decisions, to let go of what no longer works, and to step into the unknown, hitting the needs head on, trusting that God is leading us into something new. Now, one quick disclaimer. I think it's important in the church when we start talking about renewal to claim the fact that the reality that making a commitment for renewal in the church is not easy. It's really easy for a guest preacher to come in here and be like, "Let's renew the church," and all the people say, "Yay," and then we just kind of like, "Okay, now what?" Like, renewal is not easy. It's not something we say because it sounds good and then whatever. If we truly have renewal, it's not easy. None of us, short of Jesus Christ, are experts in what it takes to keep the church relevant and growing. Now, a story to kind of talk about that is recently my 16-year-old son reached that milestone that many of us remember, that he received his driver's license. You know, God help us all, like, let's. But that journey began the day he received his learner's permit. And you all remember that day for yourself, children, grandchildren. That feeling, that excitement, that anticipation, that little bit of nervousness, like they're actually going to let me drive this thing. You know, it's that one step closer to freedom, but not quite right there. From being able to go out in this world on your own terms, you're almost there. But right after that moment of victory, and my son's ready for that first drive for us to go around the neighborhood, maybe leave the neighborhood and go down Pipkin Road, and then we slap that sticker on the car. "Please be patient, student driver." Oh, he hates that. But we know that while they're ready to go, they're still learning. Student drivers are going to make mistakes. They're going to hesitate at an intersection. They're going to hit the brakes too hard. Maybe they're going to miss a turn altogether. That really weird right turn onto Lake Merriam that you turn is really two lanes, but it's only really one, and you know, you get honked at, like, a lot. That sticker serves as a reminder to the world, hey, would you just give the kid a break? They're still figuring things out. In a way, we're all like that when it comes to our faith journey. I mean, I really feel like all of us on our back should have that sticker that says student disciple, because we're always learning. No matter how long we've been following Jesus Christ, whether it be 5 years or 50, we're still learning what it means to be a disciple. We're still learning what it means to be the church. And the key is not to expect perfection, but to stay committed to learning and growing. Just like that student driver has a destination, so do we. We're all on this journey together to become more like Christ, and it takes time. So as churches grow, as decisions need to be made, as it's time to adapt, may we be patient with each other as we drive this road of faith together. Because when we are patient with each other, when we focus on the call of Christ to breathe new life into the church, that patience is met by a call for divine sacrifice, or a divine call for sacrifice. I remember recently in the church where I attend on most Sundays, thinking about some of the challenges that the church is facing. And I don't know about you all, as I was growing up in churches and I saw that there was a problem, you know, people talking about the problems, I always waited for this certain group of adults in the church to rise up, to stand up, to lead the way on how we were going to push through and fix this problem. And as I was sitting in the church where I attend, I heard people talking about the problem. I looked around the room. I was like, oh, snap. I'm 47 years old. How did I become the very adults that I used to look for? I realized I am the very person my younger self would look to help make success occur. Many of you have become that person, whether you realize it or not. Let's look at it like this. Christmas is around the corner. How many of y'all just default to gift cards for everybody you know? It's just easier. Everybody. Really? Okay, y'all actually shoppers? That's amazing. Well, with some people, and nobody here, are thinking about gift cards. And let's be honest, gift cards are always a popular choice. Convenient, practical, allow people to get what they want. I don't have to deal with the store. But a recent study found that the average person left $175 unused on gift cards last year. That is up from $116 per person in 2023. Worldwide, over $2 billion in gift cards have gone unspent. Let's think about it for a moment. All that potential, just, and y'all know the feeling when you find a gift card that still has money on it in a drawer somewhere? It's like finding gold. But untapped, forgotten, wallets and drawers, those gift cards represent real opportunities, meals, experiences, things we need, things we desire. But if they get unused, if they go unused, they benefit nobody. In many ways, it's a reflection of how sometimes we treat the spiritual gifts that God has given us. Each one of us has been blessed with unique gifts, whether it's time, it's talent, whether it's treasure, that are meant to help us grow in faith, support the church, minister to others. How often do we leave those gifts unused, like forgotten gift cards? The Apostle Paul reminds us in Romans 12, 6 through 8, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, then do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, then do it cheerfully. God has entrusted us with these gifts for a reason. And when we don't engage with them, we miss out on opportunities to strengthen our relationship with Him, to support the church's mission, and to impact others' lives. And how has Shepherd's Community recently created a way to do that? Is to sign into Church Center. Thank you. Yes. I want to leave you with this challenge, though. Like Fantasy of Flight, may we not only be a museum that celebrates the past, but take your rich heritage, personal, church community, take your rich heritage and let it fuel our present and guide us into the future. May we face our challenges head on, just as God calls us to do in Isaiah 43:19. Let us be patient with each other, knowing that we are on this journey together, still learning and growing as disciples of Christ. And as we reflect on our faith and the renewal that God is calling all us to personally and as a church, I invite each of you to consider your own part in moving the church forward. Just for a moment, think about the ways the church has blessed your life. How has it nurtured your faith? Supported you in times of need? Provided a place for you to worship and grow? Now imagine how those same blessings can be multiplied for others in this community and beyond. Renewal does not happen without commitment. It requires generosity of time, of resources, of prayer, and of faith. I challenge you today not just to hope for growth, to hope for change, to hope for renewal. I challenge you to actively invest in it. Be excited about the impact you can have together, because when we commit to the church's renewal through sacrificial giving, through volunteering, through prayer, we open the door for transformation, not just within these walls, but in the world around us. God is doing a new thing, and he's inviting us all to be a part of it. So be bold in your commitment, trusting that through generosity and faithfulness, God will lead us all into a future of hope and promise. Let's pray.
Hey friends, thank you so much for joining us this week. I hope that this message connected with you and inspired you. Please reach out to us on social media or through our website. We would love to know if this is your church family. If this message meant something to you, please share it with someone that you know or you love, or share it on social media. We know that it would be so much better with you here, so much better with the whole world, knowing of God's great love for all of us. Have a great week and be blessed.